I did everything I wanted to do, but I'm so much more unhappy now.
So empty.
So empty. Yes. I have tried everything that the world has, almost everything mm-hmm. that the world has to offer. Oh, if I had this status or this money or this boyfriend or whatever, it never satisfies. Mm-mm. Like, it never does.
If there are so many single listening, like, do you have any advice for them?
I think a lot of the times we're like, I want this, this, and this in somebody. And we point the finger like, you need to be like this. But like, am I the wife that my husband would want to be with? And so God literally told me that day, stop everything in your career. Quit. Literally lay it back down on the altar. And when I tell you, if I tell you to pick it back up, you will.
If. Wow.
That day, my dream died.
Welcome back to the Salty Podcast with Devin. Y'all, I am in Nashville today with a really special guest. I have been waiting to meet her for like a year or so or more. Anyways, without further ado, Madison Watkins is here.
Hi, guys. Oh my gosh. Devin.
We are so stoked. This is probably the most excited I've been about a podcast episode.
Because same.
It's like we're meeting for the first time in person. So this whole conversation, y'all, is going to be us kind of getting to know each other and talking a lot about Jesus.
Yes. I cannot wait. We literally have like, I feel like we've been fans of each other, which is weird.
Yeah.
But when we met today, we both were like, hi. Like, I love you.
I know. Oh my gosh.
So fun.
My sister's going to be so jealous.
Same.
You're the one person. She was like, okay, if you have her on the podcast, like I have to be there. Sorry, Sage.
My sister said the same thing. She was like, if you ever meet her, like, I want to be there. Kat. Love you.
I'll FaceTime Sage after this.
Yeah, I think me too. We'll FaceTime our sisters.
Y'all, we have so much to talk about. I literally got here probably 20 minutes ago, and we have talked 90 to nothing.
Yeah.
Because we're just trying to get to know each other so much. Obviously, I know a lot about you, but we go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and who you are.
And who you are and what I do. My name is Madison Watkins, and I think you found me on American Idol.
Yes.
I'm a recording artist. I make music for my life, my living. I just moved to Nashville from LA. I was in LA for 7 years and really long time. I know. So I'm originally from Arkansas though.
Okay.
So Southern girl. Yes. So it's good to be back in the South, but
yeah. Well, I knew watching you on American Idol, you were Southern. I might have picked up the Arkansas part, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you have a Southern accent.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my. Look, I'm looking.
You're like, tell me the
truth. I'm looking at Hunter. I'm like, Hunter. I did say Hunter's name when y'all came in. I said, Hunter.
Yes.
I said it how you say
country.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Was American Idol 7 years ago then?
No. American Idol was Imagine. You knew about me 7 years ago. I love it. No, American Idol was 3 years ago.
Only three?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Y'all, so I don't watch American Idol really. Sometimes if I'm wanting to watch a show and it's just like one random episode.
Uh-huh.
But Madison's season is the season that me and Hunter watched. Like, was that COVID?
Yeah. It was.
Okay, so that's what we were at home, and it was our binge show.
Yeah.
And I saw you on there, and I could just feel something. I was like, she loves Jesus. She's got to. But even if I was like, I want to be her friend, and here we are. I'm sitting on her couch.
I love it. I love it. That experience, too, it was crazy because people think that I just was like super stoked to be on it, which it's not that I wasn't.
Okay.
But they asked me during COVID if I wanted to be on the show, and I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I don't think I want to do a reality show, like a singing show, whatever. And then it was crazy because I said no. They asked me again. I said no. The third time, I felt like God was like, girl.
Wait, they asked you multiple times.
Yes.
And you said no.
Yes. And then the producers were like, it's during COVID. Like, everyone's going to be home watching their TV. Like, just do it. Like, be on it. Mm-hmm. Experience it. And so I was being a little stubborn though.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because like with reality TV, you just don't know how they're going to portray you. You don't know. You could go on there for one episode and then be cut. Like, you just don't know.
Wait, that's so true.
You know?
I'm so curious. I don't know the background or like what the behind scenes looks like of that. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense if like that was that the reason you said no the first few times?
Yeah, I said I wasn't gonna bring this up, but I'm gonna bring it up.
Here we go.
It's always like that. Well, I was on America's Got Talent whenever I was younger, like 5 years before or something like that. And it like scarred me.
Did it?
It did. Because when I got cut, like I like, now I laugh at her because I'm like, it's sweet. But I like cried. Like I was so sad because it was like the beginning of my career. Like I didn't really know anything.
Of course.
And then
I would have cried.
Just, no, I know.
I mean, that's the part of like being rejected.
It on national television. It's like embarrassing. Like these girls that go on The Bachelor, I'm like, how?
Oh, I know.
Because I'm like, a singing show, it's just like, oh, whatever, you get cut. But I'm like, if someone's like, I don't like you, I would be like,
I know.
But yeah, I was like, I just didn't want that to happen again because I like just cried on TV and like everyone saw it and I was just like embarrassed, I think. And so I was like, I don't want to do that again. And, but then American Idol worked out really well for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Slayed.
So.
Okay. So have you always been a singer? Mm-hmm. So starting really young, like, did you know this was something you wanted to do?
Yeah. It's crazy because I started singing in church when I was like 10.
Okay.
And I did this like church musical that was like so sweet. I hope Ivy's a singer.
Oh, she.
Is she?
Belts out. Like she loves singing, but she, I know.
I'm like, yo, Aunt Moomoo coming to town, Ivy. We gonna sing together.
Girl, you can give her some voice lessons. Yeah, she'll sing like Little Princess songs and stuff. Aww. She was going through a period where she would belt out like songs, just sing all day. And now, like recently, we just talked about the other day. We're like, why doesn't she sing that much anymore? And so I'm like, maybe nobody said anything because we're so encouraging. We're like, sing, sing. And she just stopped. Isn't that funny? Yeah. You do voice lessons? You can come.
Imagine.
Oh, she would think you're a princess. If you came, and you sang, oh my gosh, she would be so infatuated. You should come sing for her.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm literally, I'm coming to stay with y'all.
Oh, no, for
like,
sure.
We've already talked about it.
I think, like, next week.
Did you say next week?
Yeah, aren't you going?
Oh, yeah, next week. Yeah. No, I think it's, like, so sweet because basically as a kid, like, I grew up singing in church. Mm-hmm. And that's really, like, how I got my start with everything was just, like, singing about Jesus.
Yeah.
And back then, I feel like it was like, I didn't realize how special that was. But now I look back and I'm like, those years were like the foundation. So basically when I was like 10, I like literally heard from God, which is now I look back and I'm like, I didn't know that I was like hearing from God, but right. Like my little 10-year-old heart like heard his voice. Mm-hmm. And I just remember he said like, this is what you're going to do. And I was listening to Whitney Houston.
No way.
Mm-hmm. In my room.
Your voice reminds me of Whitney Houston.
Girl, not even close.
No, it does.
Thank you,
You have
Devin.
Such a beautiful voice. Y'all, if y'all haven't heard her sing, y'all have to go listen to her sing.
Oh,
so good.
Thank you.
So did you grew up Christian in a Christian household?
Yep, I grew up. My parents are like so strong in their faith. Mm-hmm. And I grew up like, yeah, going to church, like really like, diving in summer camps, all those things. And then I feel like when I moved to LA was a time where I was like, okay, I'm like, this is real life. Like I have to really decide like if I want to pursue Jesus with my whole life, with everything. And there was this point, I remember I moved to LA and I was like, I can be anything I want to be. Like I could, you know, go crazy. I could like follow Jesus. I could do whatever. And I just remember there was a moment where I was like, no, like this is my faith. And like, I want to represent Jesus with my whole life, my whole career, everything, even if people around me aren't doing that.
Wow.
You know,
I love that. How was that? Like stepping into Hollywood, making that decision, like, okay, I can either go this way mm-hmm. and walk, you know, basically kind of not have faith and mm-hmm. just live life fun. I mean, LA, you think of
right.
Can be
everything
crazy.
That, like you're like, flesh would desire is in LA.
And it was at your fingertips.
Yep.
So how was that
that's
process
hard.
Like?
I remember because also I kind of grew up with like a lot of pressure in my youth group. And like my youth group was great, but I just remember everybody kind of like looked up to me to this point where like I never felt like I could like sin or like do anything wrong or people would like, or maybe I put this pressure on myself. I just felt like, okay, like I have to be this like perfect person And like my actions have to like be good. Like I wasn't living in that like grace that Jesus gives us. Like I was just trying to like look good to people. Like I remember thinking like I didn't ever drink in high school or college, but I'm like, why didn't I? And I realized it wasn't because I was like, no, this is like, you know, what Jesus want for my life. It was more of like how other people viewed it. Mm. And then they viewed me as like a good person. So when I moved to LA, I just remember having that temptation of like, do I just want to date a bunch of people and go out and like be in the music industry and do all these things? Right. And I remember I was at church one day in worship and I just remember being like, why would I want anything else that doesn't satisfy me like Jesus satisfies me? Like he truly is the thing that fills that void in my heart. And he loves me so much that like, why wouldn't I love him back and represent him with my life?
Mm, wow.
Did you grow up in a Christian
yes.
household?
And so okay. I say like, that's so relatable because I feel like same. So I was kind of in the middle child. I didn't have like the middle child syndrome where, you know, they are like rebellious or whatever.
Yeah.
But I had older sisters. I had younger sisters. I learned a lot from my older sisters of what not to do. So it almost kind of put me in place and scared me. Okay, don't do that because you're going to be disciplined and there's consequences to your actions and all that.
Right.
And then I had younger sisters where it's like, okay, well, I have to be a good influence to them. Mm. So I was always a good kid. And looking back, same like whenever Hunter and I got in a relationship, the things we didn't do, it was never because of the reason and the gift that God had for us and the blessings of that. Mm. It was more out of doing right by people.
Like legalism a little bit?
Yeah. 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 And I didn't want to, I felt the pressure that people were watching. And that is still a pressure I feel now, but in a different way. It's like, I'm excited that I get to be a good role model mm-hmm. and people are watching and hope that it doesn't lead them astray, you know?
Right.
But pressure in the sense of, like you said, it was almost that I didn't want to make a mistake because I didn't want to be seen differently or mm-hmm. be like, oh my gosh, like they're going to not see me as the good girl anymore or I'm responsible for their actions.
Right.
Like if they see me do this and stumble and fall, then they're going to do that. And that was a weight I did not want to carry. And so even, but now it's the same way. Like I don't want to cause anybody to stumble and fall. Mm-hmm. So I am careful of my actions and mm-hmm. all that, but it's a freedom. I feel I'm doing it because of him, not because of them. They That's just get so, to reap the benefits of ooh. That.
That's a little snippet.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes. I love that, Devin. Like, I feel like you and Hunter, the way that you live your lives, and I say this like not in a pressure way, but just it makes people drawn to Jesus.
That's so nice.
Because of y'all's love mm-hmm. and your grace, not because of like that you read the Bible or that you do like these like legalistic things, mm-hmm. but it's like people see y'all's marriage. They see how you treat each other. They see the joy of the Lord in your heart.
That's
like
so nice.
That's what draws people to you guys.
Thanks for saying it's that. True. That's so sweet.
Yeah, it's so true.
I feel that in when we started social media, a part of that testimony in of itself is I started because I knew it was from God mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, God, if you bless this, because I knew that it was a calling that he had, but I didn't know what to expect. And I remember him saying, surrender, surrender, surrender. And I'm like, how the heck do you surrender? Well, eventually I prayed about it and I was like, oh, that's what you mean. You just wanted me to bring it to you and be like, okay, if this is what you want, it's yours. I'll give all glory to you. Mindset, we started and I felt like, I'm like, okay, I have to give all the glory to him. How do I do that? Okay, let me read my Bible in here. Let me preach on here. Let me do this. And then it was like, he was like, no, he said, they will know you by your fruit and they'll see me in you through that.
Come on, and Pastor Devin.
And so that is why it does. I'm like hearing that. I'm like, oh, see, yes, that is confirmation and encouragement that we're doing what we're supposed to do. And obviously we're going to make mistakes and we're in the spotlight. So everything's more. And you can, right. I'm sure you relate to that. Like, how is that you going from not in the spotlight, mm-hmm. you know, just singing in church to now you're on a stage mm-hmm. singing in front of all these people. Like, how was that?
Yeah, it's crazy because I feel like our stories are similar in that the only thing that I felt like I could do was just surrender what God had told me. And I think I did it wrong for a long time. Like, honestly, I feel like just this past season, God really taught me, like, this is not yours. This is mine. Mm. Like, your life's not yours. Your gift is not yours. Your career is not yours. Your money's not yours. Like, and so I think he prepared me from a young age where, like, I, like, did beauty pageants and, like,
did
these
you?
Little things. Yes. That, like, I was on stages, but I think it's different, as you know, when, like, the world is watching you.
Yes.
And the world says, like, mean things or nice things or whatever. And then you have to be like, where's my identity? Mm. Like, truly, like, because it's, like, cute to be like, my identity's in Christ. But, like,
right.
What does that look like on a daily basis?
Yeah.
When someone says, you look fat online, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
First of all, rude.
Yeah.
But, like, second of all, like, where do I find my identity? Like, yeah. Who does Christ say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
And even before we started this podcast, I have these, like, daily affirmations because also, this is crazy. Side note, I felt so much spiritual warfare yesterday.
No way.
Mm-hmm. And now, this morning, God was like, it's because something's going to happen on the podcast. It's like, going to impact people.
I have chills.
No, literally.
No, so much chills. I typically get so nervous before I talk, but I had such a peace. Like, even Hunter was like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm genuinely so excited because I knew our conversation was going to be so Holy Spirit led. And then when I messaged you, I'm like, hey girl, I was like, sorry, I haven't sent any questions over. I was like, if you're cool with it, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead. And I think it's because he's like, no, you're good. Y'all just go talk and I'm going to show up. And so I'm so excited for people to hear this.
Me
and
too.
Like, ooh, that gave me chills.
No, literally. That. Because yesterday I like felt like I was in this funk. Like I could not get out of it all day long. Like it was like, and then I just was praying. I was like, God, what is this? Like, am I depressed? Like, you know, you just go down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I just came out of a season that I was depressed. So I was like, am I still depressed? Like, and then I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, this is the enemy. This is spiritual warfare. Like, start praying, start worshiping. So like I started worshiping in my house. Like I was literally just like singing and praying out loud. And then he revealed to me, it's because of today.
Yes.
Like oh literally, gosh. I could weep. I could literally funny. Weep. Like no, I,
the tears are coming.
I'm serious. I like was like, oh my goodness. Like yeah. You're going to do something through Devin and I. And I think too, like not to prophesy, but yeah. I think like our friendship,
yeah.
Like there's something on it. I know we just met, but I'm like, we both love Jesus so much and God has a calling for both of our lives. And I'm like, the enemy hates that.
Absolutely.
And so he's like, oh shoot, two powerhouse Jesus loving girls coming together to talk about Jesus.
Yes.
No.
And y'all, we have tried to get together so many times. Like anytime I've gone to LA, she's just leaving LA. And then when I leave, she's getting back and we're like, dang. And so she moved to Nashville. We're in Nashville for a supercross race. And I was like, oh, will you be in Nashville? And I'm so thankful that we finally got to meet and like do this and like talk about Jesus. And from the minute that I saw you, I'm like, I could just feel Jesus off of you.
Aww.
And so you said you've just came out of a depression season.
Yeah.
What did that look like? Was that when you were in LA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I think for the past like 3 years I was depressed, but I didn't know, which that sounds like a long time. And trust me, I'm like, I call LA like my wilderness season, like where it was a really hard season for me. Like the whole 7 years. I mean, I had like a lot of traumatic things happen. Like I was held at gunpoint.
What?
Yeah. I had like, I was in an abusive relationship. I was assaulted. Like,
oh my gosh.
And I've never talked about those things. I'm like,
sister in Christ, what? Wait.
It's crazy.
You've never talked about it.
No, not on a podcast. And it's interesting because I'm like, okay, because I'm like in therapy and like talking through it. And, but it's crazy because, yeah, I think God, I'm just coming out of this season of like a lot of trauma, a lot of just hard. And moving here was like such a gift from God because this is the last place I thought I was going to live, which people are like, why? Like you're an artist. But I just was like, I don't know. I'm just not like a country artist. Like I'm not like, you know, I just never thought I would live in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And God brought me here and he's just shown me like, I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to get you out of this depression season. And I do feel like I'm like coming out of it. But people
praise
don't.
God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even what you said, we talked about it on the way up here. You mm-hmm. you brought up something like when you first started social media or something like yeah. that. And I won't share your stuff, but just
oh,
like
no. yeah, I've probably shared it on here before.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how do you feel like you got through that season? Too. Depression's hard.
Oh, it was so hard. And it was hard when you're in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And so you're still having to be like active and on there.
Smiling.
And yes. And
yeah,
it's like, okay, well, we can't just stop, or we could, mm-hmm. but it was, you have to fight through it when you're in the spotlight, which mm-hmm. is hard. It was a season that my faith was truly being tested more mm-hmm. than it ever has been. And I shared a gist of like how that kind of got started and just the enemy. I knew it was from God because of how much spiritual warfare I was in. And it was a place I got to rock bottom before God, like, was like, all right, what are you going to do? Like, you've got to help yourself, because I ended up becoming and like self-pitying myself so much.
Whoa.
And I was like stuck. And so he was there the whole time, like, you know, wanting to pull me up, but I was just letting myself pull myself back down. And I mean, it took a lot of prayer and community and people praying over me. And just, I don't know, it was just like this transitional period that there's no pinpoint date that I was like set free from it. It was just gradual.
Yep.
And I remember, I say this and I always have to preface, my faith got like deconstructed to reconstruct. And it's because everything that I told you about basically the foundation my faith was built on, and the pressure, it wasn't built on like the grace, and obviously it's situational, but I just relearned to love Jesus in like a new way. Not because I was brought up in it. So it was always so normal, but it's almost like I became a non-believer. I still believed, but it was almost like God allowed me to get there.
Yeah.
So now I could relate and know like how being lost felt to then be able to help people, be like, that feeling is so empty and sad and dark. And whew. I'm just glad like I got Jesus back.
Yes.
You know? And I mean, he was there, but I truly believe he allowed me to feel that, because I can relate to people now who don't have him. And it makes me hurt the way he hurts for people.
Literally. When you just said that, I like, my heart like dropped, because it brings back those memories of like, there were times where like, I wasn't following Jesus. And like when I first moved to LA, I was saying, and I did the same thing. I deconstructed and I was like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And you get to this place where you look around and you're like, I did everything I wanted to do, but I'm so much more unhappy now.
So empty.
So empty. If anybody's watching this and like you haven't started your relationship with Jesus, I'm like, just coming from me, I'm like, I have tried everything that the world has, almost everything that the world has to offer, and like been given a lot of things that like you think like, oh, if I had this status or this money or this boyfriend or whatever, it never satisfies.
Mm-mm.
Like it never does.
It's disappointing because you feel like it would satisfy.
Yeah.
It's not.
And you always want more after.
Yes. It's like it's a chase for more always. Oh my gosh. Not love that happened, but the conversation, like it's so real. And I feel like so many people do end up going through that. It's almost a lot of people that grew up in the faith end up either being like, okay, so am I going to keep this faith?
Right.
Or, I mean, cause the enemy knows and he's like, let me try to win them over.
Yeah.
With the world and status and all of that. So how did you get out of, like, what led you out of that depression season?
Yeah, I think changing my environment was huge for me, because I remember my team, people around me, LA, like I love my team and they were like so great. But like, it was like, you know, when like you're in a season and you're around certain people, and when you see them, it like reminds you of that season almost. It was like, I just needed new everything.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a new apartment. I needed a new city.
Yeah.
I needed new friends. I needed a new team. Like it was like, and nothing against any, it was me.
Yeah.
I was the issue, but it was because I was seeking, I love Jesus, blah, blah, blah. But I was still seeking the world in my career. And I think I was doing it on my own strength and I would fail every time. And then it was crazy because I was following Jesus with every other part of my life And then I was trying to make my career happen for myself and not just letting God lead my life. And so what I think got me out of that was surrendering. Mm. I got shingles the day of my like LA sold out show, where it was like, after that, it was like, I was taken off. Like it was like tour, like da da da. Like they had all these things planned for me after this show. I woke up that day with full body shingles, like blisters.
And have you ever had shingles?
Never.
Before? Oh my word.
And it was God's way of being like, you can't do this by yourself anymore. Like I gave you this word when you were 10 years old that you're going to be a singer, but this is for me. Oh. This is not for you. And I was really doing a lot of things for me. And I remember like, I never put out a song about Jesus. And I remember having this thought, like if I was married right now and I never posted my husband on Instagram, like that would be weird. Like you're like, you know what I mean? You're like, are you actually married? Like, do you actually love him? Mm-hmm. And that's the same way about Jesus. Like, literally, whoa. I'm like, I didn't have one song about like the person that means the most or that I say means the most in my life. All the songs are about boys and relationships and me and me, 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 me. And I just felt so convicted. And so God literally told me that day, stop everything in your career, quit, literally lay it back down on the altar. And when I tell you, if I tell you to pick it back up, you will.
If, wow.
And that day, my dream died. Like I didn't work for 6 months. I didn't do anything. I rested and spent time with Jesus for 6 months. I didn't take any brand deals. I was like, okay, God, I trust you. Like you got to provide financially. You got to provide emotionally. And I just remember, like, he was like, this is your Abraham Isaac moment where you have to lay this dream down or else it's going to ruin you.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's not from me. Like you're trying to make this word from me happen, but like, this is my plan for your life, not your plan for your life. And so I remember in that time, he just convicted my heart and he was like, do you want people to know about me? Like, but in a gentle, God's so gentle. He probably didn't say it like that. He's probably like, do you want people to know? I don't know how he said it. But like, I just feel like he was like, if you really have a heart for people to have a better life, which is with me, then why wouldn't you put that in your music that people listen to every single day?
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So the day you got shingles and your dream died and you went through that whole season, mm-hmm. was it an easy decision to surrender it to him, or was it a struggle where you're like, wait, I was supposed to be going on tour. I was supposed to be doing all this. Like, was it kind of a fight back and forth of hearing God's voice or be like, oh, are we sure that's what God you're saying to me? Or am I just...
Well, if I wasn't so sick, I think God knew, like, girl, you got to be on your deathbed because like, if you're not laying in bed in so much pain, you will question me and you will go out and you will still try to do it on your own strength. Mm. And so it was like, he allowed me, shingles last for like a month. So like, I was like down for like the first month and yeah, it was horrible. I can't even think about it. I'm like, it's like triggers me. I'm like, I don't want to go back there.
Is shingles caused by stress?
It is. Uh-huh. Unless you're like 80. Like most people get it when they're like 80 years old.
Yeah, and
like,
you're so young to have shingles.
I know. And that's how stressed out my body was. And so.
Because it's like you were trying to be your own God.
Literally.
Yeah. That's y'all, trying to be God is, that we can't do it. That's
what I recommend. Why we get shingles. Yeah. So I just think like that season, like, after that, it was like, I didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. You asked me like, did you go back and forth? It was like, I didn't have a choice. And it's like, you know, when you hear from God so clearly and you're like, I have to do it. Mm-hmm. Like if I don't, like, I'm scared of what would happen.
Strike down.
Yeah.
He's like, how many times am I going to have to tell you and show you?
Yeah. He circles back.
Yes.
Every time.
No, that is so, okay. And going, relating to that moment and when you asked me about my season, I said he allowed me to get that way. And it's because I think he knows us and he knows how we operate and our hearts and desires and all that. And I think for me, he knew that I needed to get to a low to be able to truly depend on him because it was the same way. Like it's like on my down as I was going down and just kind of questioning and doubts. And it just got me deeper and deeper. I still try to be like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm just going to keep going. And I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And it's like, he wanted me to know, why do you believe in me? Like, do you really believe in me? Like, are you just saying that because this is how you grew up?
Whoa.
And so getting me there, he knew. He's like, I'm going to show you mm-hmm. why you need me. And in the most beautiful way. You know what I mean? He would, like, I truly believe he wasn't ever going to let me get, because, I mean, I was saved. Like, he was in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that that season was allowed because I needed to see. I had never really been through things that truly made me need to rely on him. And that did. And that was good. And so I'm not, people listening, like, I'm not saying you need to deconstruct your faith. Like, I would never advise that.
Yeah.
That's like, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you through what you need to lead through. But
yeah,
for me, that was just the season I was in. And because that was like, could have been so detrimental. Like, people I've seen videos of people who have stepped away from their faith and all that. And it breaks my heart. And because truly, if you end up being flushed with worldly things and like, God can't operate in that, you know, like the sin and stuff in your life, like it just pushes him out. And then eventually if you end up deconstructing to a point where you're like, oh, I don't need God. I mean, you're rebuking him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So when you were going through that time, like you were saying, like you were self-pitying, like not me interviewing you.
No, I love it.
I love it. Which is a conversation. Yes. Yeah. But like when you were going through that time of like depression and you said you started to self-pity, like how did Hunter react to that as your husband? Cause I'm always interested being like a single girl, like, cause I've been in those seasons, but I don't have a man to be like, yo,
let me,
you okay?
Let me help you out. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And we're going to talk about that. For me, that was such a blessing. Like, praise God. His faith was not also deconstructing. Like, I was always the more spiritual one in our relationship from the get go. And I always wanted to be led, you know, and that was something that's like, we've talked about it on here before about just his testimony with that. And I've always prayed for, I was like, dang, I just wish he would lead me and like be a spiritual leader and all that. And then God set me free from that. I'm like, no, I can just pray for him as his wife.
Aww.
So that season, looking back now, him seeing his wife, who was so spiritual,
right,
be in a season of so much doubt and like questioning and depression and all that, he had nowhere to turn to but God, because for a long time he relied on me and my faith to keep us going or whatever. And so for him, that was, he had to lean to God and be like, all right, God, I can't save her.
Whoa.
Like, only you can. And so him, he got into the word, he started praying, he started, and I got chills.
Whoa.
Literally, that played such a role in getting me out of the season I was in, because of him being obedient and him deep diving into his faith and being able to pray for me in that way. And he never made me feel bad and I didn't feel judged. Like, whenever I would sit down and be like, Hunter, like, do I believe anymore? And I didn't even want to say it out loud because I didn't want to be like, am I blaspheming right now?
Yeah.
And it was just so beautiful and raw and how he was just listening. He never made me feel bad or like, girl, you better not say that stuff or whatever.
Right.
It's like he took the weight of that and he was like, okay, you're, I'm just going to pray for you. And not to my face to where it condemned me or made me feel whatever. But so, and he never told me that during. It was after.
Aww. I know. Hunter, you're so sweet.
Y'all, Hunter's in here just listening. And
I'm just making eye contact with him every time she talks about him. I'm like, trying to see how you react.
Yeah, and he's just on his own. So yeah, that was such a beautiful thing. And so afterward, when he told me that, it brought my faith up more. And I'm like, whoa, God, you not only use that season for me in my life, but for Hunter. And he is like on fire for the Lord now.
Aww.
He's the spiritual leader in the best way. And I mean, he reads his Bible every morning. I'm like, I didn't read mine today.
Yeah. He's in there like doing his quiet time.
No, it's so freaking cool.
Yeah. That's sweet.
I know. Okay. And so how is your singleness life? Like, do you have?
I'm tired. No, I'm just kidding.
Because I feel like we do have a lot of listeners who can't relate in the way of, I mean, we're married, mm-hmm. and so when we talk about things, but mm-hmm. there's probably a lot of single believers, yeah. and they, how could you speak on that? And how have you found contentment in your single season?
Yeah, it's, yes.
It's a process.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I think, one of the biggest things in my life right now that, like, on a daily basis just really sticks out. Mm-hmm. I'm 29. I just turned 29. And, like, I'm just like, first of all, how'd I get here? Like, everyone says that. They're like, but it's crazy because in society, too, people are like, oh, you're 29. Like, you want to get married? Like, you know, yeah. all that. And I'm like, well, yes.
Right.
I do want to get married. But I think the Lord has needed to prepare me and alone. And I will say that I have not been content until recently. Like, okay. I had a moment recently where I was like, I think I'm going to be okay if I was single for the rest of my life, which is crazy. I don't want that. Lord Jesus, please.
Like, please just leave me, man, but I'm content.
If yeah. But I really, I thought about it because I'm like, it's not my life anymore. And I think that just to encourage single girls, like, that desire is in there because God put it in there. And I think that's something, like, Christians try to be like, be content in your singleness, but also, like, that desire is there for a reason. And I personally think that some people have that calling on their life, but I do think that when couples are together, they're, like, unstoppable mm-hmm. when God is using them.
Yes.
And so it's been a road. And I think for me, I had, like I said, I had, like, a lot of trauma that I think, and I'll ask God this when I see him in heaven, but, like, I'm like,
I can't wait for that day.
Oh, we're all sitting there like, and I got this question and yeah. this question. But I think he knew that I needed to process it alone because it's been really dark and really hard. And not that whoever I'm supposed to be with couldn't deal with it, but I think God, he has kind of shown me that he wants me to be in a healthy place. Because when I meet my person, we're just gonna run. Mm. We don't have time to walk.
Wow.
Because I'm further on in my career. He'll probably be further on in his career. We're older than, like, getting married at 20.
Right.
And I just feel like he's been like, no, I need you to be, like, whole so that when you meet that person, like, you're both whole and you can just go and, like, do your ministry together. But it's been a road. It's been such a road. And I almost was engaged.
Oh, you were? Mm-hmm. Was this the abusive relationship mm-hmm. you're in?
Yep. So I was dating clinically a narcissistic guy in LA and obviously didn't know it at the time.
How long were y'all together?
2 years.
Okay.
And then he was cheating on me with, like, multiple girls. Like, it was like five.
Oh my goodness.
I found out about five okay. girls. Yeah. And then he was just very, like, verbally abusive, but I didn't realize, like, what was going on. Like, when you're in abuse, you don't know that you're in abuse. And that's why people are like, why doesn't she just leave him? Well, because, like, it's like a cycle. Like, they, like, love bomb you and, like, love on you. And they're like, I love you, baby, so much. Blah, blah, blah. And then they abuse you and then talk really down to you or whatever. And then when you're going to leave, they love bomb you again.
Wow.
So it's like this cycle. And I was in it for 2 years. And, I mean, we were picking out rings and wedding wow. venues and everything. And I just remember the first time I figured out he was cheating on me, I was like, I forgave him because I was like, this is my husband. Like, I'm going to have forgiveness, like, whatever. And then the second time it was like multiple girls came out and I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, did they come message you?
It's crazy how God works. One of the girls was on set with one of my friends as an actor.
Okay.
And they were, like, shooting, like, a movie together. And it was like, oh, yeah, like, you know this guy, like, da-da-da-da. And then it was like, yeah, it was her friend. And her friend's like, yeah, my best friend's dating. I'm not going to say his name, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I almost did, though. I was like, ooh. He was like, oh, no, like, I think it's the wrong guy. Like, he's dating Madison. Like, they're about to get engaged. And she's like, that's weird. Like, they were together this weekend. And, like, I was out of town that weekend. And so, like, that was, like, the first time. And then the second time, that same guy friend had actual mutual friend that she was in our friend group. She and him had done some things.
Oh, no. So and she knew y'all were together.
She said that he said in the moment that
y'all weren't.
We weren't.
Oh, man.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
So basically,
sorry. I'm sure your heart was so broken.
It was so broken. I think God has had to use these past couple of years to heal that because I had major trust issues, like to the point where, like,
I am sure
I would go on a date with a guy, and if he looked at his phone, I'm like, he's cheating on me. He probably has a full girlfriend on the side. And
he's
like,
cheating on me. We haven't started.
Yeah. He's cheating on me. First date. But like, no,
you're
just
cheating.
Like, yeah. He's like, girl. No, but seriously, like, no,
yes.
I would like hurt guys too. Cause like, I would just be like, very like, well, I don't know who you are. Like, I was very like defensive and standoffish, but it was really just cause I was really hurt.
Yeah, for sure. How did God heal you from that?
It's been a long road, Devin, but I feel like someone said this the other day and I was like, this sounds super Christianese, but it's like
Christianese.
Girl.
That's so funny.
When you spend time with Jesus, he like puts this like healing balm in like all the holes in your heart that are like really hurt.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna make me cry. That's no, so literally. Sweet and tender.
I'm like, I'm pregnant too. I'm gonna cry.
It's you're having what's the word? Sympathy.
Empathy, sympathy, sympathy. Yeah, no, literally. We're like crying for us. No, but I just think like, I don't know, people just don't realize if you don't have like an intimate relationship with Jesus, like that when you are at a point where you're so depressed that you don't want to live anymore, he just like is the only person that can truly be there for you mm-hmm. and truly heal your heart. And like, it's just crazy because I never thought I was going to heal after that. And I'm like standing here today and I feel so whole and so healed from that. And his name can come up and it like doesn't affect me anymore. But wow. All it is spending time with Jesus. Like, it's like your best friend that when you spend time with him, you feel better after yeah. you leave. That is how he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really healed me, not to be like cliche, but like, just on the daily things, like he just would be like, that's not going to happen to you anymore. Like, I'm here for you. I'm going to heal you. His word, like getting into the Bible, actually reading it and realizing how much God loves me.
Yeah. His love is so good. And it's, yeah. I'm sure going from what you went, thinking what was love mm-hmm. and then him really showing what real love is. Did that learning how he loved in and of itself kind of heal things that
yes.
in that relationship.
Yes. And that I want a man that loves me the way that God loves mm-hmm. me. Like I noticed too, like getting really honest with you, like being with him, like I just dressed like more immodest. Like I was trying to be like sexy mm-hmm. and like just trying to be what this guy wanted me to be. And I just realized like, no, I want a man that loves God so much that he loves me how God loves me, which is exactly how I am, covered up,
mm-hmm.
like glorifying God, not crossing my boundaries, not doing things that I know aren't glorifying to God. Like that's the type of man that God wants me to have. And that's how God loves me.
Yeah.
And so exactly what you said, like, yeah, God, his love, like really just healed the deepest hurt that I've ever had in my life. And that's why I'd recommend like people that don't know him. I'm like, no, you literally have like, just like try. I'm like, even if you're like, this is not for me. Great. I don't think that's going to happen to anybody when you get one encounter with God.
Oh my gosh. It's life changing.
It's life changing. Mm-hmm. So for you, like whenever you met, cause y'all were young.
Oh, we were so young. Yeah.
We were eighth grade.
Babies, 13, 14 years old. So it was like a whole different type of relationship when we started.
Mm-hmm.
Just the cliche boyfriend, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're cute, let's date. And then it was about junior year when it was like, wait, when we both kind of had separate encounters with God, it was like, well, if we want to be together, like we can't be each other's God. We can't worship each other in the boyfriend, girlfriend sense. And
right.
It was we knew. It's so rare because that's so young. And I think about Ivy now. I'm like, whew, she can't date that young.
Right.
But it was like he literally, God put Hunter in my life at the time where I needed, I was about to go on a whole different path.
Whoa.
Yes. And him just becoming my best friend at that point, even though we were boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, it truly saved me from so much stuff. And that's, I mean, everybody has a different purpose and calling, and God put Hunter in my life at that age because he knew I need him at that age. And
right.
But we went on our whole own journey of being like, okay, well, if we want to be together and be married, we can't put each other first because it was a toxic relationship. It wasn't what it is now. It was full of jealousy and just not fulfilling. We weren't who we are now. And that's because of Jesus. And Jesus transformed that relationship to become beautiful and, you know, a godly marriage. And so I'm so, yeah, Jesus changes everything.
He does.
It's not, he's not just this made up person.
No, or like religion. Like, yes. That's what I'm just like, oh, like I hate the way that some Christian cultures have like made him, because it's like, it's not like that. Like I tell people, my friends that are atheists, like I'll be like, no, like imagine meeting like your favorite person ever. They're the most loving, giving, kind, selfless person. You'd want to hang out with that person every day.
Right.
Like you're like, I'm obsessed with you. Like,
I know.
I want, you're hilarious. Like I literally know that Jesus is hilarious.
Right.
Like I know we'd be dying laughing, like hanging out with him. But I'm like, you just got to meet Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't meet the religion.
Yes.
Like, meet Jesus.
Yeah, girl, that's good. Don't meet the religion, meet Jesus. There's a difference.
There's a huge difference. And a lot of people that call themselves Christians don't act like Jesus does.
Right.
And Jesus, if he was here on earth, would be like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Right. Like, where'd you find that in the Word?
Yeah, where'd you get that?
No, that's so true.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, ask me.
Because I feel like this is something that a lot of girls want to know, but they don't talk about, Christian girls. Mm-hmm. How did you guys pursue like purity or not in your dating, marriage, whole thing?
So part of whenever I said earlier how there was like the pressure to be good and whatever, and it was never for the right reasons. It was just because we were scared. So we did save ourselves. And the initial was because I didn't want to get pregnant. I was scared of my parents finding out. It wasn't because of the beautiful Hunter. Stuff. So the transition period, we're like, okay, we can't be each other's idols. Like, we learned separately about purity, and then it was like exciting. So it became, because at first I was like, why are we waiting? Like, why? I didn't understand why. And I think it's because it wasn't talked about. And so purity to me is like multiple things. Yes, it's, you know, your the sacredness of sex and marriage and all that, but also just purity in like your relationship and the way you love each other and just like your pure, your intentions can be so pure. Yeah. I'm still learning about how to talk about purity in that. And like, cause I feel like I'm still learning now how to have purity in marriage.
Whoa.
And
whoa, people don't talk about that.
No,
they only talk about it like before or purity just being sex.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. Because we were so submerged into purity culture. And like, that's why we were like, okay, we can't do this.
Yeah.
It's a no-no.
Or all but of our like, friends why? Will figure out
why. Yes. It's the why behind it. And that's like people who have, and I truly believe, and people say, well, you can't get that back, but God can re-purify you.
Yes.
And give you that whole sense of purpose back, because outside of marriage, it does take some of that away because it's meant for marriage, but God doesn't judge you and he wants to redeem you and like make it beautiful again. Like, what's your thoughts on purity culture?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's toxic because I think it makes you feel like there's no grace. Like you said, I think you can be renewed every day.
Oh,
and that's
absolutely.
Why God says like, renew your mind every day, whatever. I think like, I don't know. I feel like from the Holy Spirit, like there's a girl listening right now that you maybe have had sex with your boyfriend and you're feeling like really shameful about it. And I just, ooh,
girl, sweet.
I just need you to know, it makes me emotional, that like shame is from the enemy and the Lord has renewed you and redeemed you. And so he loves you so much. And the reason why he wants you to wait is because he knows it's in your best interest. And I always use this thing with sex where it's like touching a stove. When you touch a stove, like you're gonna get a blister, right? And this is like sex before marriage, I think. And then it's like, God doesn't want you to have like 50 blisters on your hand by the time you get married and be like, ow, like this has been something that has hurt me all these years.
Oh my gosh.
And so going into it, like, is this gonna hurt me again? Like, God's protecting you so you can go into it and just be like, not hurt, not as hurt, you know?
Wow.
And I think, anyway, for whoever you are, if this is for somebody, like, you don't have to live in shame because Jesus literally forgives. He says, as far as the east from the west. And whatever purity culture has told you, it's not true. And God loves you so much.
Mm, word.
So yes. I just felt that.
No, yeah,
so
I can feel it off of you. I'm like, speak it.
Yeah.
No, that's so good. Because there's so much shame that lives behind it. And like friends I've had and some sisters that it's just the shame. If you carry that shame, it's like you almost don't want to give it to God. Mm. Because you're like, I'm too far. Like that is such a ugly side of me I don't want God to have. Mm. But he's like, no, give it to me. Because I can make it new.
Yes.
You know, I can restore the brokenness you felt from that and the shame and the weight of whatever it can bring you, all those feelings that the enemy is like, here, have a little bit of this and this and this.
Yeah.
You know? So you've said that, you know, God put the desire in your heart to have a husband one day. And like you have that desire and you're like, okay, I'll be content if it's not, but you feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I do.
What are you doing now that you're in this season of waiting?
So good.
Like, how are you, is it challenging or is it easy? Has it gotten easier? Or is it a day-to-day thing? And like, what are things you're doing to practice patience in the waiting?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. I actually have this husband journal that I've been writing in for the past like 2 years. And I have days where I'm like, I can't do this. Or like, I'm tempted. Like, there has been seasons where I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, I really just want to go and like, kiss some guy or whatever it is. Like, I'm just like, Lord, help me. I'm ovulating.
Sister in Christ, that's hilarious.
No, it's so true though, you know?
Oh, it's true.
It's just honest. Like, and I think like everyone feels like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that journal has helped me to talk to and I will literally say to my future husband, like, I am struggling right now, but like, I want to continue to walk. And I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I have been perfect, whatever. But in this season, God has used this journal to help me, like write to my future husband. And me and God be talking about it every day. Like,
that's amazing.
You know, and some days I'm like, I don't really feel it as much. And some days I'm like, if my husband isn't here soon.
Doesn't show up.
Yeah, I'm like, because I think too, it's like this partnership. I desire like a partnership with somebody so bad. Like you said, when you're in a season, it's like you can pull each other up. Whoever's down, the other person can pull them up. And I just love like partnerships in general, like team sports, like always just like working with somebody. And so I think for me, it's just been like being honest with God about how I feel. It's like not pushing it away and being like, God, like yesterday I told God, I'm like, I'm frustrated with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm genuinely frustrated with you. And like, yeah, it's like cute to say like, I trust you, whatever. But in this moment, I don't.
Yeah. No. And like, he wants that.
He does.
Wants that communication. Cause that is you trusting him. I'm like, God, I mean, that's you talking to him.
Right. And I told him, I was like, I just want to find this person. I'm frustrated that like I haven't. And I think, like you said, he loves that because it gets you closer to him. And then when that guy comes, you're gonna be like, this is why you made me wait.
Yes.
Like he wasn't ready or I wasn't ready.
Right.
You never know what God is doing. But it's crazy because when I moved here, and I'm like, this is very bold for me to say this, but I had a couple people like tell me like, I feel like your husband is in Nashville.
Before you moved here? Or
yeah.
When you were moving?
Well, I was moving here.
Okay.
But like they were like, I don't know why, but like I just feel, and I travel so much. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm always in LA or whatever. And so I just was like, that's really interesting. But, and he might not be.
Yeah.
But it's just very interesting how God brought me here. I never thought I'd live here. And I'm like, I feel like I'm gonna meet him here.
Amazing. No.
Fast forward to the wedding clip. No, just kidding. Yeah. We like take this clip.
No, we gotta take this clip. And your journal, do you think you would put that in your vows one day?
I think so.
Like a little piece of it. Maybe yes. Not all the steamy stuff, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like it'll be the gift that I give him like the day of our wedding.
Because, oh my gosh, that just gives me chills. Like to know, okay, because your guy, mm-hmm. your husband, is in the same boat you are right now.
Maybe.
Maybe.
If he got a girlfriend, she needs to go. I'm going to cut her out. I'm kidding.
But to whatever season he's in, who knows? But I'm picturing him writing his journal.
Yes.
And praying for aww. His future wife. And to know that the way you are praying for your future mm-hmm. husband, and I truly feel, that's why I got chills when I was saying it, is because I feel like in the same way, there is a guy out there who you are going to be married to mm-hmm. that is like seeking God. Be like, she's out there. You know, like you're going to find each other.
We're both doing it for each other. It's sweet. It's
so sweet and tender. And the fact that your love story with God mm-hmm. is first in mm-hmm. all this, and that he's like, honey, I've got you. Like he has made you fall more in love with him in this season of waiting. Whew. And then, cause he's like, honey,
come on, Devin,
you don't know what's coming.
Yes.
But I do. He does. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Send me a wedding invite.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
of course.
I'm in the front row.
Y'all need to approve him on our first. No, I'm like.
Double date.
I need to bring him to y'all's house and be like, y'all like him?
Like, can you feel the Holy Spirit on him?
Yeah. Something I do too, which is just like cheesy, but I love it, is every time I buy myself flowers, you see, I usually have like fresh mm-hmm. like flowers in my place.
I love fresh flowers.
Tell me what you're going to say. I was going to get you flowers today, but then I was like, she ain't on a plane.
That's right? Sweet. I know.
Like, you're like carrying them.
Yeah.
When those flowers start to die, I take one of them and I put it in the journal.
Stop it right now. That is the cutest thing.
There's like flowers like all throughout it too. Of like, I've bought myself these flowers, but one day like he'll buy me flowers.
Chills again. Wait.
Hopefully.
That is so sweet. Hopefully. Hey, no.
Hunter, tell him to buy me flowers.
If that is a pursuit you have, like write that down and like make that a prayer, even though it's cheesy. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you pray for your future husband and be like, you know, I want him to have these attributes and mm-hmm. like him love Jesus, him this. But the desire to buy me flowers.
Aww.
Like that, pray for that, you know? Like
that's good.
Not silly at all. I remember in, we were in youth in our small groups, separate small groups. And I remember we were dating, but the homework was to write down a list of everything you want in your future husband. And obviously I was a little biased because I was like, well, I want him to have dark hair,
brown hair,
dark skin, dark eyes, just everything he was already. I was describing him to a T.
That's sweet.
But you pray and everything. They were like, write everything down, everything your heart desires and pray over it. Mm. And like, so yes, I was, I wrote his like, how he looks down, but other things too. I wish I had that list because looking back now, I'm like, wow, how the Lord blessed that. And to be like spiritually led and all that.
That's what I was going to say. Cause you wanted that.
I wanted that for a long time. And that was something that the Lord had to teach me. Be like, Devin, you have to stop nagging him to be this person that I'm going to make him be. You can't make him be that.
Whoa.
And so, but that was his season and that he had to go through in his walk with God, because even though like we were brought together and to be a team and for Jesus, cause that's like what it's about. Right.
Right.
And so we still can't like save each other from things. Like we can never be each other's first, like God has to be, or there's going to be so much void in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that is just another spill, but
wow.
I'm so excited for you to meet your future husband.
Thanks.
This makes me giddy now. Ah!
I love love. No, it really is special because I know this next season, God is calling me. There's a lot of fun things that are coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to, like, before we close, I wanted to say, like, what is God teaching you now? Like, what is God doing? What's good? What's happening?
Yes.
What's up next?
Yes.
For you?
So, I can't officially say yet.
Okay.
I can't announce yet, but in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be able to announce, but.
So y'all go follow her. Where would you announce that? On Instagram?
Yep. TikTok, Instagram, everywhere.
Yeah.
I have a really fun, big announcement, and this year is going to be a really big year for my career. And I feel like God has been preparing me all these years for this year, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that what's going to be really cool is like when all these career things are happening, I feel like simultaneously God is going to bring someone that can really come alongside of me to navigate this next season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just being elevated in any sense of your career, more people knowing you comes with more responsibilities right. and challenges and all these things. And so I'm just excited to potentially meet someone.
Yeah, no, hold on to that excitement.
Yes.
And if there are so many single listening, like, do you have any advice for them in their season of singleness and mm-hmm. waiting for God to bring them their man?
Yeah.
Or woman, if it's a man listening.
Yes. I think just like preparing who you are for that person. I think a lot of the times we're like, I want this, this, and this in somebody. Like, and we point the finger like, you need to be like this. But like, ooh. I've been really convicted lately. Like, am I the wife that my husband would want to be with? And little things. Like, even like, I'm like, yesterday I was like, I don't want to go get groceries. But I literally thought, no, Mads, like, this is going to prepare you for the week. And like, I thought about that with like being married. I'm like, doing these little mundane things that people don't see. They don't see I got 45 bananas back there. But
yeah, I think only two bananas things are in the shop. But y'all, she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is there 6 over there?
Yeah.
That is funny.
But like little things that I know that when I get married that like I'm going to want to do, like prepare like food for the week or whatever. And it's like when you're single, you're like, oh, like I can just like get to go or like whatever. And I've been like making myself do things like little silly things, make my bed every day, do these things. Mm-hmm. Like I live alone, so it's easy to just not. Right. But like making myself do these little disciplines that I know that like my husband deserves that.
Oh,
like he deserves so me good. To be prepared and like to be close to Jesus, because I know that he's going to be like that, because the man I'm praying for is going to be like that. So I'm like, I want to be like that too. And so just like preparing your like silly things, like going to work out, moving your body, like things that I'm just like, these daily things that I'm like, I want my husband to work out or like whatever it is for you. Like, yeah, right. That's my right. thing. But you're yeah. like, I want my husband to cook or whatever. It's right. like doing the things that you want them to do. Like you also being disciplined and doing those things.
Mm-hmm. I love that, preparing yourself
yeah.
for your future husband.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's coming. So you're like getting prepared.
I have one more thing for the okay. single girls too, yes. is just enjoying your time, like with your friends right mm-hmm. now, because as you know, like when you get married, it does change.
Right.
Like, and you start having kids and stuff. Like, you don't get to just like be around your girls all the time. Or if you're a guy, your guy friends all the time. And it's like, there is such a special thing right now with your friends too. And I've like, I've traveled, done all these things. And I'm like, it's just been so special in my singleness. And I can't wait to share that with somebody. But God has every season for a purpose. And so it's like soaking up every little drop of water in the season that you're single, because you're going to look back and be like, man, I wish I would have like really
right.
savored those moments.
Yeah. No, that is so good. I'm so glad that you're able to speak on that, because I can't, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's so wild that I never had a really singleness since I was in middle school. And that is a whole lot different than it is in our 20s. Yeah. Okay. Well, last thing before we close out, I just want to, what just from everything you've said, I just want to speak on real quick. When you were in LA and you went through that season of everything was going in your career mm-hmm. or at the start of it, and mm-hmm. you were doing it for yourself mm-hmm. and all these things, hearing that and then seeing, I mean, you've shared a little bit what's going to happen, but I know we can't announce on here yet. Isn't it so wild that saying no to some things that sound great, and that you're like, why would I turn this down? But God was like, just trust me, mm-hmm. literally trust me. And if you didn't turn that down, because being obedient to him, you wouldn't be stepping into this new season you're about to enter. Mm-mm. And how much more rewarding this season feels. Like, I can see the joy on you, yes. like talking about it.
Yes.
And it's more fulfilling because it's yeah. from him and not from the world. And you.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, what a testimony.
Thank you, Devin.
Thank you for sharing all this.
Yeah. And it's, the thing is I've seen that like obeying God is always the harder decision, but then it always reaps the best benefit, like in mm-hmm. the end.
Word. Seriously. You know? Yes, it really does. Well, thank you so much for being on here today.
Thanks for letting me.
We could keep talking. I'm just like, learning so much. I'm like, golly. I just feel so good right now. And I'm just so grateful that we've got to meet.
Same.
Yeah. And anybody listening, thank y'all for listening. Y'all really need to go check her out, follow her. Do you know your stuff by heart? We'll put it in the description box too.
Madison Watkins.
Yep. Yeah. Love her. Isn't her hair amazing? If y'all are just listening and not watching the video, y'all need to go look at her hair.
I like your new hair.
Thanks, girl.
It looks so good. It's fake.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being here, and we will see y'all next Monday.
Bye.